Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Judges, reading from the third chapter, Judges chapter 3, reading verses 30 and 31. Judges chapter 3, verses 30 and 31. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Our subject this morning is this: living in time with God. Dear Father, we have felt thy presence in this service. We believe that you are speaking to our hearts, that this could be a very significant time for all of us if we will put our own purposes, desires aside for a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak and be obedient to his voice. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. living in time with God. It has been said there is a time and a place for everything. A time for planting, a time for harvesting, a time for moving, a time for staying. And the Bible talks of God's perfect timetable for our lives in such phrases as, when the fullness of time had come. And how we like to rehearse that phrase in this Advent season, for it speaks of Jesus when the exactly appropriate moment arrived in the fullness of God's time. He sent his Son, Jesus, the Christ, to be with us and to be our Savior. All in accord with God's perfect timetable. In the book of Esther, we read the timeless question posed by Queen Esther's uncle, who said to Esther as she attempted to make a great decision, "Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Every day, each of us receives 1,440 minutes to use however we see fit. The question comes, how do we know the best way to use these precious minutes? How? By making sure that our lives are in time with God. God has a schedule for our years, and some of the time it may appear the days roll by in rather meaningless fashion. But mark it down. If your life is in time with God, He will help you make every day count for His cause. Every day counts. I must admit, some days seem more crucial than others. There are some great moments in life when you dare not miss the timetable. It was so in the life of Shamgar. Who in the world is Shamgar? Well, let me tell you about him. He was not a great soldier. He was not a great preacher, but his name has been immortalized in the book of God simply because his life was in time with God. Shamgar was a farmer. He loved God and was concerned about people. And his people were oppressed and depressed by the evil-hearted Philistines who were occupying their land with 600 men, or probably even more than that. Very likely this simple farmer and the other inhabitants of the area suffered greatly at the hands of the wicked Philistines. One commentator indicates that amongst other oppressive things they did, the enemy would not allow the Israelites to have even a blacksmith to help them make their tools for fear they would make weapons. But when God's time for deliverance came, he did not need a great arsenal of sophisticated weaponry. All he needed was an obedient man named Shamgar, a farmer who said, "O Lord, my time is in your hands." God said, "Shamgar, I need you to help make a difference in your world. I am bringing deliverance today. This is the time. This is the day. This is my scheduled day for deliverance. Shamgar, take your ox goad and deliver my people." An ox goad was just a pole with one end sharpened. They used it as a cattle prod. not much to work with against an occupational force of at least 600 soldiers. Shamgar took a quick glance at the odds and found them to be at least 600-1. But he didn't look too long. Say, when you're in time with God, you needn't be too concerned about the odds against you. Here we are this morning in a difficult time economically, trying to raise $30,000 in pledges to keep our church program going. Yet every one of us has had to ask the question, can we afford it? But the question isn't, can we afford it? The question is, do we need it? And I tell you this morning, the answer to that question is yes, just as surely as Israel needed to be delivered from the Philistines. Our board has concluded that we will need approximately $30,000 over our general income to maintain our payments on this building during 1975. But the odds are against us. We have what some consider to be a gloomy economy, continued inflation ahead. The odds are against us. But the odds against old Shamgar weren't too good either. But when you live your life in time with God, you needn't worry about the odds. In spite of gloomy predictions, God can help us to meet our need this morning. In the midst of all the gloom we've been talking about, here we are on the verge of raising the greatest Thanksgiving offering in the history of the church. I believe we'll go over that $12,500 even in difficult times financially. In spite of gloomy predictions, God can help us to meet our needs, as we read in the responsive reading this morning. He'll do it as a church. He'll do it as individuals. And we have needs. There are great challenges before us, and we must come to grips with the future. For those of you who keep score, we've had 9 Sundays just this fall when our attendance has been over 1,000 in our morning worship service. It looks as though we probably have about that with us this morning. 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday morning, with nothing special really, just the same old singing and the same old preaching, we had 1,124 worshiping together. Nearly 1,400 were there that same Sunday night with something special. Now, I know the easy answer is to say we can go to 2 Sunday morning worship services, and we likely will this next fall. We have our board's forward planning committee already moving to study our needs and to come up with proposals for solutions. But the time will come when we're full on Sunday night as well as on Sunday morning. We've been through this before. We know the pattern. And we also know from our experience that in our situation, at least, it seems an impossibility to have 2 morning worship services and 2 Sunday evening services without killing everybody. We tried it. Nearly died. It's one thing to preach 3 times a Sunday. It's quite another to preach 4. Didn't work very well for us. We preached 3 times a Sunday for 2.5 years. We're willing to put our lives on the line and do whatever we need to do by expending our own personal resources to help continue this miracle in motion. But the time will come when we're full on Sunday night, and we might as well face facts. In a few short years, we are going to need more room. But before we can expand, we have to pay for what we have. And that is our mission this morning. Pledging today to help make a difference in tomorrow. Oh, some may say, start a second church. That will solve your space problem. Well, our district superintendent has our recommendations to do that now. We've already encouraged him to do that. And he reminds us that he has a whole district to care for, and he has some communities on our district that do not have any Church of the Nazarene.
But someday we will have that church under district sponsorship, and it will grow, and it will flourish, and will be immediately self-supporting, is my prediction. And we will do everything we can to help bring that to pass. But I insist, all of this will happen. And at the same time, we will continue to grow and still need more room in the not too distant future. That's why we must do the job today. What we do today will make a difference in what we are able to do tomorrow. All Shamgar had to work with was an ox goad and a burning heart to do something for God, and the awareness that his life was in time with God. Their heartbeats were in unison. There was identical rhythm. Do you have that kind of assurance in your soul today? As you face the prospects of the future, are you fully aware of the fact that you're living your life in time with God? That your heartbeat is in perfect rhythm with the heartbeat of God? And that there isn't anything he could ask you to do that you wouldn't be willing to do to help bring his good purposes to pass? Is it in you? That desire to do something great for God, is it in you this morning? Dr. Morrison had a friend with a bird dog. He was putting him through his paces in a field near his home. The dog just worked that field back and forth and back and forth so very carefully and thoroughly. Dr. Morrison said to the owner of the dog, "Is there any game in this field?" And the owner said, No, it's too civilized. There's no game here." Then Dr. Morrison said, "Well, have you ever seen any game here?" And the owner said, No, I haven't. "Oh, probably been many years since any animals have been in this field." "Well," said Dr. Morrison, "would you mind telling me why that dog is working so hard in such an unpromising field?" The owner said, "Well, he's just got it in him. Whenever he sees grass, wherever it is, he starts working it for game. It's instinctive." This was kind of similar to Shamgar's situation. Under ordinary circumstances, this quiet farmer could expect the coming encounter with the Philistines to be most unpromising for him. Whatever it yielded would surely be negative for him. But he had something in his heart that said, "I'm going anyway. I want to do a great job for God. There's a job to be done. And regardless of what it costs me, I'm going to do the job." He just had it in him. God had put it there. What did he have? The knowledge that his life was in time with God's plan. The time for action had come. Oh, likely there had been a great deal of conversation in the village about, "What should we do about these invaders? What in the world are we going to do about the Philistines? How in the world can we get rid of the Philistines?" But the time for talk was over. Time for action had come. Shamgar could have called for a truce on the basis of what he did not have. But that would have meant only defeat. And I suppose we could call a truce here and say, on the basis of what we do not have, we refuse to take on this new assignment because of what we do not have. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources we need. We just don't have enough to take on any more. But if we take that attitude, if we do that, it'll mean defeat for us as well. Now, some of you this morning may say, "Well, frankly, I want to go to a church that doesn't ask so much."
Well, listen, there are plenty from which to choose. There are many half-empty churches around that won't ask much from you. But listen to me now. If a church doesn't ask anything from you, you can be real sure they won't give you anything either. When Jesus calls disciples, he demands something. But he gives something as well. And we have had more blessings than any church I know of. I'll tell you this, if I were looking for a church to attend and I fell in with this wonderful crowd for a while and got exposed to the atmosphere of our services, I'd say, man, I've found what I've been looking for. We have a great church, and we really haven't had to dig all that much more than other churches that are on the move. Now, I see the newsletters of many of our greatest churches. I see them every week, and they all have some kind of program going to build a building or pay off a mortgage or missions or buy a Sunday school bus or something. The church on the move costs something. I was interested to read in just the last few days the newsletter from one of our greatest churches, and that church raises about twice the amount of money a year that we raise here. It's a great church. And they had a project come upon them to buy some new land, and in just a matter of a few short weeks, they had a crash campaign to raise $371,000, and they raised it in a matter of 5, 6, 8 weeks, something like that, just this fall. They just completed the campaign. $371,000. How do they do it? I'll tell you how they do it. Many of the things that people wanted, they didn't go ahead and get. Many people went to the bank and borrowed money to put in this special offering because they believed they needed to possess this new land. The church on the move costs something. I was out in Denver a while back, and I had a luncheon meeting with some business executives from the area. They wanted to know about several things. I shared with them some of the marvelous things that God has accomplished here. And they could hardly believe that in a day like ours, this sort of wonder could take place. And we who have been here live so close to all that God has done, if we're not careful, we'll just take it all for granted. Oh, I know we need much, much more. And I think we've all been tempted from time to time to call a truce on the basis of what we do not have and just say, let's just level off here and just relax and kind of coast on in. But Shamgar said no to that kind of thinking because he knew it would mean defeat. He said, I will ignore what I do not have, and I'll major on what I do have. I have an ox goad, and I have a mission from God, and I have the awareness that the time for fulfilling this mission has come, and the time is this. He said, I'll take what I have. It's a tough assignment, but God helping me, here I come. And that day, Shamgar the farmer delivered Israel from the Philistines by slaying those who refused to flee, put them all to flight. And his name, consequently, has been inscribed in God's book forever as one who delivered Israel. Shamgar, a man of daring faith, who refused to make his decision on the basis of outward appearances. Shamgar only had an ox goad. Moses only had a rod. David only had a slingshot. And Samson, the jawbone of a donkey. But none of them paid much attention to outward appearances. They aren't too important. And this morning it may look to you on the basis of the outward appearances in your life that you really can't participate in anything like this. But outward appearances, when you're dealing with God, really aren't too important. I remember hearing Dr. Hardy C. Powers tell of going to a stable to see the famous racehorse, Whirlaway. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Dr. Powers wasn't involved in horse racing, but he did love fine horses. And he went to see this famous whirlaway. $1 million winner, this horse. And Dr. Powers was surprised at the appearance of the animal. Said it was kind of humpbacked, ewe-necked. And his host kind of got the idea that he wasn't too pleased with what he was seeing. And he said, "Dr. Powers, remember, this horse isn't in any beauty contest. His job is to win races." And he did. Appearance can be deceiving. Doesn't count for much. Shamgar only had an ox gold. And maybe all you have this morning is so little that you don't think God can use it. But even though Shamgar only had an ox gold, the question in his life was this: Shamgar, can you do the job? And that's the question this morning. With what you have and with what God can give you, can you do the job? If you based your conclusions on appearance, we never could have built the building we're in. We never could have built the first building. But we did. And today our bills are up to date, and we continue to raise funds for paying off this sanctuary. We've done the job with God's help. And though by appearance it may seem improbable that we can build again, just remember, appearance doesn't count too much. With God's help, we'll get it done. Why, in just a few short years, I can already see a choir of 100 voices singing praise to God. 2,000 excited, expectant worshipers on Sunday morning, raising $75,000 a year or more for missions. Greater outreach than ever. A great holiness evangelistic center. But I have to be honest to tell you, you are in that vision this morning. It'll take you to do it. You say, that's impossible. You're dreaming, Pastor. Well, that's what some told me 4 years ago, about now. We were running just over 500, raising nowhere near what we're raising now for missions. And 4 years ago, I said that in just a few short years, we'll be having 1,000 expectant worshipers on Sunday morning, raising $25,000 a year for missions. It all seemed like a dream then. But now, in just 4 years, that dream has come true. This year we'll raise over $25,000 for missions. This year we're already seeing more than 1,000 in our Sunday morning services. Yeah, it was a dream, but it was God's vision for what can happen here. And I believe the future is just as unlimited now as it was then. But you're in the vision. It'll take you to do it. And the time to do it is now. Oh, you might find an easier place to serve. I wouldn't question that for a moment. The devil would like for everyone to give up and find an easier way. And the reason he does that is because I feel he is aware of all the potential blessings and victories that can be ours. He wants to destroy our colleges with dissent and liberalism. He knows the battle for the holiness movement is being fought in our colleges. And this church can help make a difference in the outcome. He knows of our witness in this community, and he doesn't like it, not at all. But oh, what a privilege and opportunity can be ours if we'll pay the price. And how can you put a price on the blessings we have received in this church? The new converts we've been privileged to see. Wednesday night, one of our newest converts, fine woman from our community, came up to report to me that everything was going well. She found the Lord for the first time at these altars with a number of others. The night our choir presented Alleluia, She said, I just want to report that everything's going well, and I consider this the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. First time she'd ever been saved. I was talking with Jim Dehoney this week. We laid Vi Dehoney to rest. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. He said, you know, Vi never really knew the Lord till she came here to this church. Advanced in years, she found Christ and is with him this morning. Esther Small told me this week, we buried her husband yesterday. Oh, how glad I am for that night when we gave our lives to Christ at the altar in our first sanctuary over there. Oh, we could go on and on talking about our converts this morning. But what I want to tell you is this. The harvest field is before us if we'll pay the price. And there are all ages in our community who need our ministry. We're going out and trying to find them, trying to bring them in. I received a Christmas card from one of our little girls from the community who comes to be with us. Gives you an idea of what the church can mean to a little gal whose parents did not come to church. It read like this. To my church, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and I'm glad I am a part of this wonderful church. People care about people more than any other church I know of. I love you all for loving me. Our community needs us this morning, right here in North Havencroft. There's a little guy who goes to school with my Lori. One day they were talking about church, and he said, you know, I watch those church programs on television every Sunday morning. She said, you do? Yes, I do. She said, well, if you're going to watch them on television, why don't you just go to church? He said, well, I would, but I don't know where to go. She said, well, why don't you come to our church? And he said, could I? She said, why, yes, if you want to come, we'll come and get you. And we did. When we arrived, he and his brother were there, all ready to go, been coming ever since. Thrilled to death with the whole thing. But, oh, how many juniors are in our city who still haven't really heard about Jesus? What a mission field. How many teenagers, how many young adults, how many middle adults, how many senior adults? We have to keep reaching out. There's no way to stop. We have to keep reaching out. But we have to have a place for them when they come. And we need $30,000 pledged today so that we can continue to pay for what we have and plan for more tomorrow. The way we've been doing it these last several years is just to ask each family if they think the church means enough to them to pledge just $1 a day for 10 months, January through October. You'd normally pay it monthly. Some pay it weekly. Some don't pay it weekly or monthly. They pay it every few months. Some do not pay anything until the end. Doesn't matter how you do it. If you can, it's a help to us if you can pay it monthly. $1 a day from January through October means $300 per family. Do we need more than that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But the board felt that this was a fair request from our congregation. It's more than we've ever tried to raise before. And we encourage you to give more if you can. There are some here this morning who say that's not enough. That's not enough. God has blessed me to the point where I want to give more than that. Whatever you want to give, give more if you can. But everyone, give something. There'll be some who can't give that much, who can't give $1 a day. Everyone, give something. And understand, this is over and above what we give in our normal 10%, our normal tithe to the church. The tithe is what just keeps the program rolling. This is extra to help us do extra. We can do it. And with God's help, we will do it. Let's not lose our holy boldness. Let's remember Shamgar. the man who did the impossible, because his life was in time with God. He helped make the difference in his world. The time for talk is over. The time for action has come. The question is, will you help make the difference this morning? Dear Lord, we come to you again in prayer, asking for your help. May thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, and may we respond obediently, knowing that we're involved here in the most important business in the world. It is the season that we celebrate the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave it all. Help us not to hold back any part of the price. In thy name we pray. Amen. In this week's Observer, you received one of these. If you didn't, they're located in the hymn book racks by the bulletin this morning. It's self-explanatory. There's a pledge card on the back where it gives opportunity for different levels of participation. No one will ever send you a statement telling you how much you haven't paid yet. This is a pledge between you and the Lord. You say, unless providentially hindered, the Lord helping me, I'll give however many dollars the Lord leads you to give, starting January through next October. No one will ever call. No notices will ever be sent. The only way you'll find out the balance of your pledge is to call and ask for it. This is just the way we do it. And so we'd ask you to indicate the level of your involvement this morning and just sign it. And you don't have to tear it off or anything. Just drop the whole thing in the offering plate when it is passed. We encourage, whether you cannot do the dollar a day or whatever, everyone do something. But we need a number of faithful families to take on this assignment with the rest of us to give a dollar a day. Our college students helped us greatly last year. We're always thrilled when they become involved at this level in the program of the church. Fill it out. Our ushers are ready to receive your pledge. Let's ask for God's blessing upon this important act of stewardship this morning. Dear Father, we believe you've allowed us to be a part of a miracle as we have worked together here in College Church. We believe that the best days are still ahead, if, like Shamgar of old, we'll keep our lives in time with God and be obedient, sacrificial, committed to the task. Bless us now as we receive this indication of our support to the work of this local church. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.